What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another fun episode of the Between the Tackles podcast. As always, be sure to like, subscribe, download, rate us 5 stars wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify. And be sure to follow us on all the social media, Instagram, TikTok, X, Facebook, Between the Tackles, and on the other socials, it's at Tackles Pod. Be sure to throw comments, subscribe, likes. We love the feedback. Be sure to get it to us. I am here with my pal, Manish. Manish, how's it going today?
It's going great. And I'm really excited to welcome one of my favorite people in the industry on the pod today. That's senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com and analyst for CBS Sports HQ, Pete Prisco. We're going to dive into the impending free agency frenzy that kicks off next week with Pete, whose annual story on the top 100 free agents available is one of the most insightful pieces of the offseason. And we will make sure to have the link to that story in our show notes. Welcome, Pete.
What's up, guys? How are you?
Doing great. So last year, your number one free agent was quarterback Sam Darnold. You hit the nail on the head on that one, obviously, with Darnold winning the Super Bowl with the Seattle Seahawks. A lot of established players, recognizable names in this free agent class: Trey Hendrickson, Von Miller, Khalil Mack, Aaron Rodgers, you know, Super Bowl MVP, Kenneth Walker. But the number one guy on your list is Baltimore Ravens center Tyler Linderbaum. Why was he first? And you know, realistically, what kind of market do you expect? And what are some of the teams that we should keep an eye on with him?
Well, he's first because he's a young offensive lineman who happens to be the best offensive lineman in this class. And when those guys hit the market, you got to put them high up on any list, particularly a center. I mean, a guy, he does so much stuff at the line of scrimmage now with all the calls and all the different looks you get. So the value is there. I think he's going to get, I mean, he's probably going to get 24, 25 million from somebody. And look, that's part of the reason why the Ravens didn't tag him, is because he would have been tagged as an offensive lineman, which would have made it $27 million, which is ridiculous for a center. So I think that's why he hit the market. And I think there's going to be a lot of teams active. You know, the Chargers kind of took themselves out of any chance to go get him by, you know, Beatich signed with them this week. So that fills their center need. But there are other teams. Chicago needs a center now. Now, they might opt to go cheaper and try and help their defense, which is probably what I would do. There are other centers on the market that I would probably look at in that scenario. McGovern of Buffalo, Cade Mays down in Carolina. Those are some of the guys, you know, that might be in that mix as well. And then, you know, there's going to be a market for him because so many teams need help on the offensive line. So he's not going to have a problem getting signed by anybody.
Now, Pete, you know this probably isn't a particularly strong free agent class this year. Who are some
no,
of the
stinks.
Most...
It stinks.
It stinks. Okay, that's a good way of putting it. Who would you say are some of the most overrated players in this class that are going to get significantly overpaid?
Well, I have a problem with old guys, and there's a lot of old guys, so I have to keep those guys down the line. You know, it's the name guys. You know, you mentioned some of them to start the show. Khalil Mack, name guy. Von Miller, name guy. But what are you getting out of those guys? For a year, maybe? So you got to be careful with the way you structure the contract. And I look, I've known those guys. I love both of them. But let's be real. You're not going to get 4 or 5 years out of them. So it's got to be one of those situations where you structure the contract to take advantage of them for a year or two, because that's what I think they do. Calais Campbell, another guy, you know, Cam Jordan. I mean, you can go on. Demario Davis, and Demario Davis is still a good football player, but he's an old guy. And so where do you get him and bring him in? I you know, the Jets are talking about maybe they'll bring him back. And so that would be interesting for that team. So I think that's where you have to be careful about overrated. Malik Willis to me is the guy that's been the most overrated throughout the whole process. I don't get it. I really don't. I know it's a quarterback-starved league, and I put him probably higher than most based on what I think this free agent market might be for him. But let's be real. He's had 6 starts in his career, and when you go watch his starts, he's one of those guys that goes back into the pocket and he either throws it to the sideline on a deep ball, go route, or he's going to scramble and leave clean. He leaves clean pockets, by the way, and then he might make a play getting outside. That's not the way you play quarterback. The game is meant to be played in the pocket with the ability to move. You go through your progressions, you get the ball out. If you don't, if you can't get that done, then you can get out and try and make a play. So, look, he's raw. Is he better than Kyler Murray? The answer to that question is no. And here you have Arizona talking about if they're maybe going to make a move to get him rather than Kyler Murray. I don't get that. So he, to me, is the one that people are projecting. Chris Sims called him a superstar. I said, Chris, what are you kidding me? Where do you see that? What are you watching? And, you know, I saw him at the combine. I said, and I go, I can't believe you. I bet your father doesn't love him like that. And he said, oh, he likes him too. And I go, well, two Sims are wrong then, because it's not, he's not the answer for quarterback problems.
I want to dive into the quarterbacks in a moment, Pete, but just to jump off of what Burge just asked about the most overrated, you know, you've been around for decades. You're fully aware that some of the guys are sneaky good ads. They end up being the best bargains in a free agency class. And you ranked the top 100, so there's a lot of depth there. Who among that group do you think, when we look back in 2 or 3 years, will say that was an incredible bargain in the 2026 NFL free agency class?
Well, I don't know if he's going to be a bargain because he might get a better contract than we think. Jalen Watson played outstanding for Kansas City last year at cornerback, and he's the right age. You know, you always got to look at the age, and I always target 25, 26, 27. Those are the target years. You know, somebody once told me, a guy in the league told me a long time ago, if you can have your average age be 26, you're going to have a great team. And so target that number. And I think that fits, and he fits into that number as well. He was really good last year. Somebody's going to get themselves a really good corner, and we're going to look back in 3 or 4 years and say, wow, they got a bargain on that guy. So he's the number one guy, at least for me, in terms of that.
I do want to kind of circle back real quick to the quarterback market. You talked about Malik Willis. Your top available quarterback is someone you had also just mentioned. He's just outside of your top 10, and that is former Arizona Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray. You know, there's been rumblings or momentum or perception that he may be headed to the Minnesota Vikings to work with Kevin O'Connell. A, do you think that's a good fit? And B, if he does not wind up in Minnesota, what other teams make sense for him?
I don't know if that is a good fit. Because the offense, the way the offense is structured, it really doesn't seem like it's structured the way it should be for him. And so we always rave about Kevin O'Connell, by the way, and rightfully so. The guy's a good football coach. But he fixed everybody, but he can't fix J.J. McCarthy. I mean, think about that for a second. So how bad is J.J. McCarthy if you can't fix him? Because he fixes everybody else. He made Sam Darnold. Look what he turned Sam Darnold into. So yeah. I think that's something we got to step back from. I don't think that's a good fit for Kyler Murray. I can understand why he would want to go there. It would make sense. You know, you throw in the Jefferson. You have a lot of pieces. You have a great defense with Flores. So I would understand that, but I don't know if that's a great fit for him from a scheme standpoint. You've also heard, this sounds crazy, but Indianapolis. And he likes Indianapolis. And the reason I say that, you could get Kyler Murray for $1.5 million, because that's what you're gonna have to pay him. Or you pay Daniel Jones $37 million, or you give him a long-term contract, which is going to start at 37, by the way, which means he'll be a $40 million a year quarterback. What would you do? What is there that much difference between the two of them? Seriously, I mean, I ask that question with all seriousness. Is there that much difference in terms of a $40 million a year quarterback for Daniel Jones and a quarterback in Kyler Murray you'll get for $1.5 million? I don't think there is.
Yeah, that's fascinating. You know, there's a team that Murray has been linked to just among the fan base. I don't think there's that much validity, if any, at this particular team. It's a team that I'm familiar with. It's the New York Jets. They've got a new offensive coordinator in Frank Reich. Aaron Glenn coming off a disastrous first season. Some people think that it's a make-or-break year in year two for him. Maybe he's on the hot seat, maybe he's not. Clearly, the Justin Fields experiment did not work for the Jets last year, and clearly they need a quarterback. What makes the most sense for that team?
What makes the most sense for that team from my standpoint, and I've told people that in their building, is tank the season and go into next year with all the draft picks and get a quarterback. I mean, which quarterback are you going to get out there that's going to make that team a playoff team? And I say that in all seriousness, because they're not. No matter what they do, they're not a playoff team. So what's the best case scenario? Let's just say, for the sake of the argument, and I don't think they like Kyler Murray, but let's just say they like Kyler Murray. And Kyler Murray goes in there and wins. There's only two things that can happen. He's going to win 6-7 games, which is something you don't want. You don't want to be in the middle. Or he's going to win 10 or 11 games because, you know, you struck gold, every ball bounced the right way. And then all of a sudden you can say, oh, are we stuck with Kyler Murray? And so what's the reasoning for bringing him in? I think they need to get, yeah, they'll probably get two veteran quarterbacks, and hopefully they don't win many games with either one of them, because next year they have three first-round draft picks. They have two in this draft. And you can go into next year and get yourself a quarterback. And it's, you know, everybody always says, oh, every year we say it's going to be a good quarterback draft. Based on the numbers next year, it's going to be a really good quarterback class, even if half of them fall off next, you know, don't play well next season in college football. So I think if the Jets are smart, I'm tanking, baby. Hey, win three games and then go into the draft next year.
Well, I want to pivot to a specific team that kind of did tank it a bit and ended up getting their quarterback, and that's the New England Patriots. Mike Vrabel and Robert Kraft and that whole staff up there spent a lot of money last year in free agency, and it panned out for them. And it's obviously no secret now, especially with Stephon Diggs being released, that Drake May needs more weapons. If you're the Patriots brass, who do you want, or what do you want them to do in free agency this year?
You got to be careful with Alec Pierce, and I love Alec Pierce. The guy is the deep speed. He averages over 20 yards to catch the last 2 years. But are you paying him number one wide receiver money when the reality is he's not that? I mean, what did he catch last year? 50 passes? You're paying a guy who caught 50 passes to be your number one wide receiver. Is he Jefferson? Is he Chase? Is he in that class? Is he Smith and Jigba? Is he Puka? No, that's not who he is. But you're going to be caught paying him that money. Would he be a good addition to that offense, considering Drake May throws the ball down the field? Absolutely. But you also have to balance that by saying, am I paying Pierce $40 million? You know, you heard $35 to $40 million, which Chase makes, what, Chase got 40. If you pay him $40 million a year, you're way overpaying for Alec Pierce. So you got to be careful with it. But I think he would be good in that offense, no question about it.
Well, another receiver that's been linked to New England looks like they're heading for a divorce in Philadelphia, and that's A.J. Brown. You know, the Patriots seem to be right at the front of the talk with that. Do you think that Howie Roseman and the Philadelphia Eagles make that trade to New England to reunite A.J. Brown and Mike Vrabel?
What do you get for him, though? You know, what are you giving up for him? Are you giving up the first-round pick? I'm not giving up. Look, A.J. Brown is a problem at times, right? I think the way New England plays football, and I know Vrabel thinks he has a great handle on him and that organization, but do you ever want to bring that problem into your building? Do you want that? Do you want your young quarterback being forced to listen to A.J. Brown complain about not getting the football? I don't want that. I don't. They just got rid of a guy that did. Diggs did that a lot. He did it his entire career. And so, no, if I'm the New England Patriots, that's not where I'm going. I don't think that's a good move for the Patriots at all.
Pete, I want to piggyback on that A.J. Brown conversation. I think the worst-kept secret in Philadelphia is that Brown doesn't particularly want to play with former Super Bowl MVP Jalen Hurts. You know, Howie Roseman typically does not lose trades. He's got a long track record of being on the winning side of those, including the one that landed him A.J. Brown several years ago with Tennessee. But specifically about Brown and Jalen Hurts, let's just operate under the assumption that they cannot coexist. If you were Howie Roseman and with the Philadelphia Eagles, who would you keep, A.J. Brown or Jalen Hurts?
Well, that's the whole other issue is, do you think Jalen Hurts is a true franchise quarterback, and is he capable of, you know, being the guy that can take a team and throw the football around when he has to? Because let's be real, they didn't run the ball very well last year, and he didn't throw the ball very well last year because of that. He's a big part of the game when they run the football. He's a threat to run the ball, and when they can run it and he can pull it, that creates mismatches in the secondary because you got to drop a guy down. When they don't run the ball, which they didn't do last year, then you got a problem. And I don't know if he's more than capable of being an average quarterback who can run. And he's had his moments. That's the point. On the big stage, he had his best games. So people sit there and say, oh, he's a star quarterback. And the reality is he isn't. But to answer your question, until I have somebody else that can replace Jalen Hurts, I'm getting rid of A.J. Brown. Because I don't receivers, look, A, he's getting up in the years, and B, you can find those guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I think there's valid arguments to be made on both sides. Just really
quick, their offensive line fell apart last year, and that was a big part of the problem. That was the whole identity of that team. is to be able to run the ball with that offensive line. Mailata wasn't as good last year. The left guard Dickerson was hurt. The center had a bad year and he was hurt. Lane Johnson was in and out of lineup. And when they do that, you can't run the ball. That puts all the pressure on the passing game, and it wasn't a very good passing game.
Yeah, absolutely. On the other side of the ball, you know, Vic Fangio again put together a tremendous unit. Not good enough to win the Super Bowl, but clearly a top five defense. They've got some key pieces that are going to hit free agency. Jalen Phillips is one of your top 10 free agents available. There's also N'Kobe Dean, who's an intriguing player but has had some durability issues. And Reed Blankenship on the back end. Who would you prioritize if you were Howie Roseman in terms of keeping on the defensive side? Because, again, these are some three high-level contributors on that side of the ball.
Yeah, I think N'Kobe Dean and Blankenship are replaceable. Dean was good, but before the injury, he didn't play as well last year, and it kind of showed up. So maybe a year later, he'll be better, but he's an off-the-ball linebacker. You let him go. They got Makuba back there. He could go in there and play for Reed Blankenship, who wasn't as good last year either, by the way. I thought he struggled a little bit in coverage as well. So I would prioritize Jalen Phillips. And if you go back to the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, what's their identity? Knocking the quarterback down and being able to pressure the quarterback. So I think that's something they have to do. You traded for him. I would do everything I could to try and keep him.
Yeah, I mean, I agree too. And he's also got that Vic, just loves. I got one last one, Pete. We kind of alluded to it earlier in a different way, but if there's one player that nobody is talking about that can be an absolute steal, who would that player be in this free agent class?
Boy, that's a good question, because I don't know if steal is the right word, because some of these guys are going to get so much money that we're going to look back, because there's a lot of money, there's a lot of cap room out there and not a lot of good players. And then there's a bunch of old players that you're not going to give big contracts. I think there's going to be guys, I'm trying to think of, I'll tell you what, he's going to get more money than probably I think he should, even though I think he's a good player. I think Brian Cook's going to get paid for the safety from the Chiefs. And I think he's a good player. He's not a flashy player. He's not a great player, but he's not going to bust you either. He's a reliable safety in the middle of the field, which everybody needs nowadays. Kobe Bryant's another one, the safety from Seattle. He's another guy, converted corner. And I think those are the safety class, by the way, is really good in this free agency period. It really is. And everybody always, we go into the draft and everybody's already talking about Caleb Downs, top 10 player. Caleb Downs, top 10 player. He's a safety. Let me remind everybody, he's a safety. You look at who won the Super Bowl the last 2 years. Kobe Bryant, converted corner. Julian Love came over from the Giants, was also a converted corner. Reed Blankenship was an undrafted free agent. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was a guy that was traded about 12 times and was a fourth-round pick. So those are the safeties who won the last 2 years. You win by getting guys up front. So, I'm not taking Caleb Downs in the top five like some people will. And I think this safety class is pretty good, and you're going to get some of these guys on the cheap.
Yeah, the positional value makes little sense. I remember one year the Jets actually drafted two safeties in the first two rounds. One of them was a top 10 pick in Jamal Adams, who, did pretty well for them, but then injuries, kind of sidelined.
He was a box safety, though. Ultimately, he was going to get exposed wherever he was. And by the way, that's amazing thing about Seattle. They traded two first-round picks for that guy and still won a Super Bowl again.
Well, this was great intel, Pete. Thank you so much for joining us and taking the time. We really appreciate it. Be sure to follow Pete on X at PriscoCBS and check out all of his work, including his list of the top 100 free agents on CBS.com.
It ain't good.
Thanks again, Pete.
You got it.
Pete always brings a lot of knowledge to the table when you talk about free agency every season. We did talk to Pete off camera about one of the other major storylines involving a player currently under contract, and that's Las Vegas Raiders pass rusher Max Crosby. And Pete raised a point that I share, which is if you're a team looking for a pass rusher, I would probably tend to lean towards signing free agent Trey Hendrickson versus giving up multiple premium draft picks for Max Crosby and then paying the big money that he's already signed with from a couple years ago. I just think it makes a lot more sense. If you're going to get an older pass rusher, why not just sign him to the money as opposed to doing that and giving up premium draft picks? Not to take anything away from Crosby. And, Pete and I share the sentiment that, Crosby is a tremendous player, but it's just a lot to to absorb player and draft capital when you have a player who maybe is not as good as Crosby, but still a highly accomplished veteran pass rusher in Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah, and kind of on the same note, on the offensive side of the ball, we talked a little bit about Alec Pierce and his fit in New England. And, you know, me as a lifelong New England Patriots fan, I would rather see them part ways with a little bit of draft capital to go out and get a guy like A.J. Brown. You know, despite what Pete had to say with his concerns with A.J. Brown, I share more concerns about throwing a bag of money at Alec Pierce, who, you know, has never been a number one and, in my opinion, shouldn't get number one money, even though he's going to in this free agent class. So it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, it's the way of the world now in the NFL. So much money at every team's disposal. You know, you got to spend it somehow. And invariably, you'll make some foolish decisions and pay some guys a lot of money that they're not going to ultimately earn.
Absolutely. It's going to be an awesome free agent week. And as always, remember to subscribe, download, rate, give our pod a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple. This goes a long way in terms of helping our show continue to grow. We appreciate all of you. As always, follow us on the social media chain on X, Instagram, TikTok. We're at Tackles Pod on Facebook. Give Between the Tackles a search. You'll find us with all the video clips and highlights from each episode of the show. YouTube, subscribe. Again, comment. We love the feedback. We love responding to all the listeners out there and hearing what you all have to say about what us two, you know, quote unquote knuckleheads sometimes like to say on the show here. So thanks again, and we will catch you on the next episode.
See ya!